As we get ready to go to prayer here later this evening, I want to look at Daniel's prayer for his people. I want to see some things in it that maybe we can take and put into our lives, into our prayer lives. Remember, the Old Testament is here. Why? It's here for an example for us. God has said in His Word, in Romans and in other places, He has said, the Old Testament is here for example. It's for the truth so that we can learn, be reminded of things, be taught. The God that we serve is the same God that we see here in the Old and the New Testaments. And so as we see Him working in and through the lives of these people, in and through the lives of Daniel here, that's the same God that rules and reigns in heaven above and earth beneath today. And we need to think that way. And I'm afraid, because I'm guilty of it, and as talking to other people are also, I'm afraid that we as Christians today forget that. We look at the Scriptures and we read these things and we go, wow, man, look how powerful God is. Look what God did. And then all of a sudden we look in the news today and it's not that much different when you stop to think about it. And we go, well, I don't know if God can do that. Now, we might not say those words out loud, but our actions say those things for us. Remember, our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. You got that, right? Okay. So your actions tell you and God and your family and others what you really believe. And so Daniel, now let's stop to think for a minute here. Who is Daniel? We all know who Daniel is. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know those stories. We've learned those stories from a long time ago. Daniel as a youth was taken from his home country, was taken into captivity, dragged somewhere 600-700 miles away, into captivity, made to learn another language, made to study under the Babylonians, put into their political system, was used by them, but he never, never forgot his God. He loved his God. He worshiped his God. How many times a day, at least, do we know that Daniel prayed? At least 3 times a day. That's why he got thrown in the lion's den. Because he got caught praying to his God, faithfully, daily, doing what God asked him to do. And so here is Daniel now is an older gentleman. Daniel has served God faithfully. God has blessed. Daniel has moved up, been promoted. Now remember, as we think about that, Daniel has been promoted. He's in a very high place, but Daniel is still a what? He's still a slave. Don't ever forget that. Daniel is a slave in a foreign country. And so, in a sense, Daniel has to be careful, humanly speaking, Daniel has to be careful what he says and does, because he doesn't have the rights of a citizen of Babylon. He's a slave. But yet God has protected him. God has blessed him. Daniel has been faithful in doing what God wants him to do, but also faithful in doing what he has been asked work-wise to do. Daniel has moved up. Daniel is in a very important place, mainly because of the blessing of the hand of God. God has used him. He has interpreted dreams. But as much as Daniel was a very busy individual, doing what the king and those around him, those who gave him tasks to do, what he had to do, Daniel always faithfully found time for God. And not only did Daniel have time to pray, the Scripture tells us, but Daniel studied the Word of God. In Daniel chapter 9, begin reading in verse 1, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of whoever, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So the Babylonians, the Chaldeans nation has fallen. Darius, the Mede, has taken over. So we've got a new political leader, king. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books of the numbers of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel is studying the works of Jeremiah. Who's Jeremiah? Jeremiah is a prophet. Where is Jeremiah? Jeremiah is serving the Lord. And so if we take this as the life of Jeremiah and we take this as the life of Daniel, they overlap this way. This is BC going to Christ. So Jeremiah lived first. Their ministry lives overlapped just a little bit. But Jeremiah served the Lord first. Actually, somewhere, Jeremiah served from 640 BC to approximately 586 BC, and Daniel from 605 to 535 BC. So their lives overlapped. Jeremiah wrote what God told him to write. Daniel was able to get his hands on those writings. He studied those writings, and he realized as he's studying these writings, he's saying, hey, wait a minute. Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 10. No, actually, he didn't do that. There was no chapter. There was no verse. But still, he's reading through that, and he gets to what we have is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. And he says, hey, 70 years. I know when I came, I was one of the first. 70 years, I can do the math. That's real soon. And from studying the scriptures that we have and from the text that we have here, Daniel was very concerned. Why was Daniel very concerned? Daniel should have been thrilled. Daniel should have said, hey, 70 years, I might be going home. The problem was, as Daniel looked around and he tested the wind of the spiritual condition of the Israelites who had been taken into captivity, Daniel realized that these people weren't looking to go home. These people, the Israelites, God's chosen people, were fairly content with where they were. Life was pretty good. Two camels in the garage, bonus room up over the garage. Why go home? Life's pretty good. And for a lot of these people, I think, unfortunately, they didn't know home. They may have been born here. Like Daniel, maybe they had been taken at a very, very young age. And so home, I don't really remember that. But I know this, and life's okay. Daniel was very concerned because not only were the people not really looking to go home, but the spiritual condition of the people wasn't much better, if at all, than it had been when they were taken into captivity. And Daniel was very concerned. And so in verse 3, it says, and I, Daniel, set my face. I earnestly sought the face of God. Basically, Daniel got on his face before God in a humble and a reverent way, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel meant it. This wasn't Lord, I was watching the headline news this morning and, the United States really isn't doing good, so you need to do something about it. Okay, I got to go to work. That wasn't Daniel's mood, attitude. That wasn't where Daniel was. Daniel was very concerned. Daniel looked around and he just said, God, what is going on here? You made a promise. You brought forth judgment. You put us into captivity. That 7 years is almost up, and we're not ready to go home. This is terribly wrong. And so Daniel said, what can I do about this? I'm a slave here in captivity. I have a job. What can I do about this? I can pray. Let me ask you a question. How often do you see a situation in your home, in your neighborhood, at work, in our nation, in the world, and you say, that's a bad situation, that's not good, that's not godly, that needs to change? What do we do about it? Kevin preached last week and he said, and some having compassion. Where's your heart for the people around you? Where's your heart for our nation? Daniel said, the answer is, I got to pray. I got to pray about this. I got to seek God, because God who rules and reigns in heaven above and earth beneath, God who created the heavens and the earth, God who brought the rain that we just had, God who makes the grass green and grows the trees, the birds, the bees, the flowers, God who controls all of that, we say He rules and reigns. Do we pray as if we really believe? And so tonight, as we look at this, we see Daniel, he set his face before the Lord and he said, verse 4, I pray unto the Lord my God. He said, I pray to my God. You know, that's interesting. Here he is in Babylon. All of these other false gods are out there. And he says, I pray to my God, the God of my people, Israel. I pray to my God. And I made my confessions. Daniel, when he started his prayer, what was the first thing he did? God, I have sinned. God, examine my heart. Examine my life. See if there be any wicked way in me. Show me my sin. Forgive me of my sin. I can't pray for my country. I can't pray for my people if I am not right with you. So Daniel's first thing is he prayed and he confessed his sin and he said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. What a humble and reverent address, bringing glory to God. Who am I praying to? I'm not just praying to anybody, a friend, a neighbor. I'm praying to the God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who rules and reigns, who brings the rain and the sunshine, who makes things grow. I pray to that God. He is great. He is dreadful. Remember, Daniel's in captivity. He knows the power of God. He knows that when God says, you don't worship me to the nation of Israel for all of these years, then I am going to put you into captivity for 70 years as punishment. And I, God, can do it. And I am going to bring the Babylonians down, and they are going to come in, and they are utterly going to destroy. And they are going to take tens of thousands into captivity as punishment for your disobedience and your unfaithfulness. And Daniel, as he's praying here, says, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, the God who has all power, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him. Daniel knew exactly who he was talking to. He says, you have made covenants and you have kept those covenants. You made covenants to Abraham, you've kept those covenants. You made covenants to David, you have kept those covenants. Keeping covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. You have said, God, you have said that if you will love me and you will obey me and you will worship me, that I will take care of you and I will bless you beyond anything that you can imagine. But what also did God say? You disobey. You don't worship me. You chase after other false gods. And I will punish you. Because I'm a mean God? No, because I'm a jealous God. And I am a holy God. And God says, I am the only one to be worshipped. And if you are not faithful and if you do not obey, I will punish you. And He did. And Daniel, as much as he's praying this to God, does he need to remind God of who God is? No. Why do we pray these things? To remind us, to let God know we know who He is and what He has done and what He can do. Verse 5, after Daniel confesses his sin and says, I have sinned, he then says, we have sinned. Who is we? The nation of Israel, the Jewish people, God's chosen people, they have sinned. And he says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. Not me, God. It's everyone else. They're all the bad guys. Daniel says, we have sinned. We. He puts himself in there. Who is Daniel? Daniel's a great man. Walked with the Lord. God has blessed him. God gave him the ability to the interpretations of the dreams to go to the kings. We have sinned. We all have sinned. We all need to, when we pray, we need to come before God and say, God, I am a sinner. I don't deserve your love. But for some reason, you chose to save me. Thank you. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, have done wickedly and have rebelled. And here and then he lists the two categories, I'll say, of sins. Even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. So first of all, we have sinned. How? We've departed from the Word. You gave us the law. You gave us the Word of God. And we said, yeah, no. I don't need that. That was okay when I was, you know, up to 7, 8, 9 years of old. But I don't need that anymore. And what have most of the people done? They've gone after other false gods. They said, I don't need to worship the one true God. I'll just go worship the gods of all of these false gods. So they departed from the laws and the judgments, the precepts of God's Word. Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name, to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. So we stopped listening and reading your word and worshiping you. Then you sent prophets to preach to us, to preach to the kings, to preach to our fathers, to preach to us, to all the people of the land. And we just said, yeah, no. In fact, Jeremiah, we'll stick you in the pit. We're not listening to you. You got nothing for us. And Daniel says, God, you gave us your word, you gave us the preachers, you gave us the prophets, and we said no. We said, we know more than you. We don't need you, God. And God said, all right, I'll give you 70 years to think. First, God gave them a long time of the prophets, of the preachers, saying you need to repent from your sin. They said no, and then God said, okay, you're going into captivity. 70 years, I'm going to make you slaves, and I'm going to send you to Babylon. And the land is going to be desolate. The Sabbath will be accomplished. You have ignored the Sabbath for all of these years. Well, the land will sit fallow. There will be no one here to farm it. The Lord says, I will get my Sabbath. So Daniel says, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We didn't listen to your word. We didn't listen to the preachers and the prophets that you sent to us. We have done what we wanted. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee. You are God. You are a righteous and a holy God. Everything that You have said, You have done. Turn back to Joshua chapter 21, or I'll just read it. Joshua 21:43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he spake, which he swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, and the Lord delivered all the enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. When the children of Israel obeyed God, when they followed the Lord, when they did what he asked them to do, he did what he had promised. He said, you obey me, you follow my word, you're going to walk into that land, and everywhere that your foot goes, I'm going to give you that land. And nobody's going to be able to stand in front of you. And what happened? They went in, they marched in, and they took the land. And here in Joshua chapter 21, God says, I did what I said I would do, didn't I? God is a great God. We can find, we don't have time, but we could go through the scriptures over and over and find all sorts of places where God has made a promise and God has fulfilled that promise. And God says, you obey me, you do what I say, you follow my word. I have told you how I want you to live. You obey, I will take care of you. I will bless you. I will protect you. Nothing can happen to you that I don't allow. Now, sometimes we take that and we look and we go, oh, life's going to be great. I do what's right and God will bless and everything will be hunky-dory and we'll go forth and there will be no hard times in life. And that's not what God's Word says. But God does say, I will take care of you. I will protect you. And nothing will happen to you that I do not allow. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need of anything that God doesn't feel that I need. He will provide it for me. He will take care of me. He will protect me. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, very familiar verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to memorize that verse. We need to read that verse. We need to quote that verse to ourselves every breakfast, lunch, dinner, and before we go to bed. We need to be confident in our lives, in the way that we think. That he, who's he? God. Did he save you? Did he save you from the power and the penalty of sin? He saved you and he's not going to start something and go, okay, that's too much work. You're too much work for me. I'm going to let you go. I got to take care of these people all over here. So tomorrow you have the day. I can't take care of all you. I have to take care of all these people. It doesn't work that way. Remember, God rules and reigns. He created the heavens and the earth, every star that's out there. Okay, I tried to look up how many stars that we know that are out there. There isn't a number that we've, you know, because of how it goes million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. See? Okay, how far does this go? The number of stars that are out there is bigger than the number of words that we made up for those zeros. The number on the page, and I didn't write it down because I didn't think I was going to say it. Now I'm saying it. But it's like a million to the squared to the 50th or something like that. It is just some astronomical. And here's the best part. Every time they move the Hubble telescope to somewhere where they say, well, it's really dark over there, so we're going to shine it over there and see what's over there. They go, oh, you got to be kidding me. Look, there's 100 million billion more over there. And I'm not a scientist. I don't understand this. But the scientists say that the universe is expanding, that there's more and more. I'm wondering. Now, I know I have a warped sense of humor. Just ask my kids. And I'm not God, so this is me pretending just for a moment to have the mind of God. But I'm wondering if God goes, oh, your telescope goes to here? Okay, I'm going to make the universe this big. Oh, wait, your telescope goes, I'm going to make the universe this big. You're never, ever, ever going to find the end of the universe. Why? Because I'm God and I'm bigger and greater than you are. And you know what? You know what the best part of all of this? God doesn't fit in the universe. Our God, the God of Scripture, the God who said, being confident of this very thing, that He, God, which hath begun a good work in you, salvation, will, not maybe, not might, not if He gets around to it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The God who saved you says, I got you. Every day, all the time, until forever. And Daniel gets on his face in Babylon and says, God, I have sinned, but we need you. We need you to turn our hearts around to you. You are a great and a dreadful God. You are a righteous and a merciful God. You love us, even when we are unlovable. And Daniel, as he's looking at the people, the Jewish people around him, who aren't looking to God, and he's saying, God, I got nothing. I need you. And here's the part, the best part. As we read the words in Daniel, Daniel believed that God could do it. As I was studying the Scriptures and looking at this, I had to stop right there and spend time with God confessing, I don't have that faith right now. Or I go through ups and downs. Because we say, oh, you need to pray for your president. It's really easy to pray for a president if he seems to sort of lean in your direction. Do you have that same faith when he doesn't seem to sort of lean in your direction? Do you really, and don't say yes or no, and don't look at your spouse. Do you really believe that God can change the heart of the President of the United States? We need to pray that way. We need to pray for our senators, for our congressmen, the ones we like and the ones we don't like. Why? Because God tells us to. Book of Romans, Paul tells us, we need to pray for those in authority over us. That God will strike them down? No. That God will change their heart. Just like He changed your heart and my heart. The day that God saved me, I was not looking for God. I wasn't in church. Some of you, I've said this, I was outside playing street hockey. There is nothing, especially as a kid, that I liked more than playing street hockey. Saturday morning, fall, neighborhood kids are out there, we got the nets up, we're playing, and it got rough. Well, hockey, rough, isn't that the same thing? Okay, but it got out of hand. Words started going, language started going, and my mom said, that's the end of that. She came in, dragged four Tozer boys in the house, told everybody else to go home, sent us to the separate corners of the house, and God put a burden in my mom's heart to say, Dan needs a talking to. I didn't think I needed a talking to. But God said, today, this morning, I'm going to save you. And so that same God who saved me is the same God, according to His Word, says, you need to pray for those in authority over you, because I can do in you, I can do it in them. And every time I go to prayer, I say, as Daniel, this is what I wrote right here at the top. As Daniel prayed for his people, do I pray for my nation and my leaders? Another thought came to me as I was looking through this, and I said, maybe I need to start with praying for the Christians around me. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, because I start with myself as I look in the mirror. But do we know Christians around us who name the name of Christ, but they're not living like it? That's what Daniel was looking at. Daniel was looking around and going, there's all these Jewish people around here, and they're going to stand up and go, yeah, Israel, yeah, we're Jewish, yeah, Jehovah. And he's going to say, but your life's not living like it. You're not ready to go back to Israel. And so Daniel sought the face of God, and he said, God, change my life and change the life of the people around us. Because it's still years later that Nehemiah is going to pray a prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1, almost exactly like Daniel's, and say, the people haven't changed. But God is looking for Christians who will pray. He's looking for, not, we can't change those people. He doesn't ask us to change those people. What does he ask us to do? He asks us to pray. So thought as we end tonight is, my challenge as we end tonight is to look at, if you want to go back to Nehemiah chapter 1, but read again Daniel chapter 9 and read through the rest through verse 19, and to read what Daniel has to say and say, God, I need to have that heart. I need first to make sure I confess my sins every time I pray. Open myself up and go, God, look at me and show me areas in my life that need to change, that are wrong in your eyes. Not in my eyes, not in the eyes of other Christians, not in the eyes of the church, in God's eyes. Because you know what I'm finding? And this has been going on for the whole time I've been able to pay attention. This is Christians. And when the world goes liberal to the left, Christians go over and go, no, we're still good. And when the world comes back this way and gets a little more conservative, we go like this and go, yep, we're still good. And God says, no, I want you over here. You say, oh, well, you're being... No, I'm just saying what God says in His Word. God says, I want you to get on your face, and I want you to humble yourselves, and I want you to pray, and I want you to seek my face. And let Him, as you read His Word, let Him tell you what's right and what's wrong. And you know what I find in my life when I really do that? That things that we as Christians say, it's okay, it's not wrong, it's not. And God just goes, but you don't need that in your life because there's only 24 hours in the day. And God says, I want more of your 24 hours than you're giving me. And I go, you're right, God. You're right. And some of these things, again, aren't bad, but God says, I want 24 of your 24 hours. And so we need to get on our face, confess our sins, seek His face, get in His Word, learn more of who He is and how He wants us to live. And it starts with prayer and spending time in His Word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come before You and realize that we don't deserve all of the blessings, all of the things that You have given to us and allowed us to enjoy. But Father, we ask tonight, as we look into Your Word, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would quiet our hearts and our minds. We ask that Your Holy Spirit would open our eyes, our ears, and our heart to Your Word. We ask that You would help us to find more quiet time to spend with You. We ask that You would open our eyes and to give us Your compassion for others, that we may serve You more. Both to our fellow believers, but also to the unsaved, that we would be that light shining on a hill, that others would see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Father, there's a lot of people who talk about being a Christian. Father, I ask that you would help us to live a Christ-like life, that you would receive the honor and the glory for anything good that happens in our lives. Father, I ask that as we go our separate ways here in a little bit, that you would go with us, that the word, your word that was shared tonight would go with us, and that this message wouldn't end here, but that it would go forth and live through us tomorrow, where we go to work, at home in our home. Help us to make you high and lifted up in our lives. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.